This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Well, good morning. This is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we're here on day two of the Magi Fest, and it's a great time. Just finished with the lecture and performance by Tim Hannig, and there were some school children that came this morning and did a great show, and then afterwards they filed out. He gave a little lecture, and as we're getting ready for lunch here, there are a couple of registrants that I would always like to talk with people to find out kind of their perspective, what's going on. And I have then David Matthews with us. Hey, David.
Yes.
And then also then Eric Chico,
right.
Got it. Okay. So tell me, Eric, first of all, what are you thinking? How do you like the convention so far? You come frequently or every year?
Every year. This is my 36th year.
Okay.
I came
you
first
don't
time.
You live in Columbus by chance, do you?
I live 30 minutes east of here currently.
Okay.
Yeah, but when I started, I was in a small town in West Virginia, and my first Magi Fest, Michael Amar was doing his he was just released his Toppat book.
Okay.
So I learned what a Toppat was the first Magi Fest in 1983.
Okay.
And I met Johnny Ace Palmer seeing his act in 1983.
Wow. Okay.
So two big, huge things.
Wow.
That kept my interest in coming back here every year.
And those are the kinds of performers and lecturers that we have at this convention that people can, like, you know, right now we got Juan Tamariz, and I just saw David Blaine last night here. You know.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, Simon Aronson's just here as an attendee.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. And a lot. So that's a good reason. And David, how about you?
This is my second year.
Okay. At this convention.
At this
you attended convention. Other magic conventions, I guess.
Actually, no. This was the
really?
First
okay.
the first magic okay. convention I've ever been to. So.
And what do you think so far?
It's phenomenal.
Okay.
It's phenomenal. Just to be around the people, and I've never been around this many people that you can just approach and talk to about magic, and it's
right.
nice just to be in a group of like-minded people. So,
did you stay up late and do a little sessioning out there?
Yeah, a little too late.
Me too.
As always, but... yeah, it's just, it blows my mind every year I come. So the second year, so, yeah.
And the second year in a row. You were here last year then
yep.
as well.
Okay. Yeah.
Did you then register early last year because you knew
yeah.
you were going to come back?
Yeah. Yeah, I just made it a point to put it on my calendar and do it again this year.
Do you live in the area as well?
No, I'm from Pittsburgh.
Okay, so you got a ways to go.
Yeah.
You know, from here.
Yeah,
what was that, about a seven-hour drive, I guess?
No, it's actually only about 3 hours from
Oh,
here.
Is that all? Okay, yeah. I thought it was a little bit further. I drove up from Houston.
Okay.
So it's about 20 hours, yeah, drive. A little bit further than for you. So you, since you've been coming every year, then you'd registered early as well, then, Eric, is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this, you say, is the only convention you have attended. Are you inspired to go to other magic conventions?
Yeah.
Or no? Yes, sir.
If it fits into my schedule, like okay. this one, I'm planning into it every year. But yeah, I would love to look into some other ones. And if it works into the schedule, then yeah, that'd be great.
And why do you come then, Eric, just to this one for the last 36 years? I mean, you told me already, I mean, great talent, but I mean, they have other conventions that have other things going on with good talent and lectures. And
absolutely. No, it's a great regional convention, mm-hmm. and it's been great for 80 years, I
right.
guess. But really, when Josh and Andy took over, they took it up a couple
they
notches. They sure did.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, you know, the Jeff Hostetler and the guys who were doing that with the Redcoats way back when, that's whenever I used to first attend, and it was a lot of fun. And then Ron Spangler taking over, and then apparently the Josh and Andy. So you don't know about all the history
all.
As well. But the conventions are all different from one another. What other conventions, Eric, have you attended, or has it just been this one?
Oh, no, some of the national conventions, the Genie Convention. Unfortunately, Magic Live always happens on my son's birthday weekend kind
yeah.
of thing.
So you haven't attended one of those?
I haven't, yeah.
That's an awesome thing.
Yeah.
Although I think they kind of use this Magic Live as a pattern or template a little bit for this because some of the shorter talks and things that they do are similar to that. The Magic Live does not have contests. They don't have contests here either. This is kind of an unconventional convention as well.
That's right. Absolutely.
Have you ever been to... Go ahead.
No, my Steve Branham, he does the dealer's room for both this convention and Magic Live.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know it was the same guy. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to the Abbott's get-together?
I have not, even though I'm not too far away.
That's why I was asking.
Yeah, absolutely.
You should go check that out because that is a lot of fun. And, David, it's a little bit different. It's a lot different convention. It's... you know, like Janie Taylor had said, you know, she coined the term, you know, Magic Camp. It's like a camp, basically. Okay. I call it Camp Colon because it's a family thing and people are having parties. I mean, there are no motels. There's like one stoplight in town, you know.
I've been to the town once, yes.
You've actually been there?
I've been there. I actually stopped at Abbott's one time on the way.
You're familiar with the town?
Yes. Okay. Yes, very small.
It's very small. It expands to like three times its size, I think, you know, for the convention. It's a lot of fun. You guys should attend that sometime.
Yeah, I've heard some great stories. Mike Caveney has a great story about going into a house, washing all these dishes, then the owner coming home and say, what are you doing here?
He was in the wrong house.
Yeah.
I do remember that story, yes. That's fine. Yeah, I've stayed in a few people's homes intentionally, the right people. That's a funnier story, though, certainly. So who is it you're looking forward to seeing at the convention here?
I've got a great story.
Okay.
I did my internship and residency in Erie, Pennsylvania, where Harry Keller was from.
Yes.
Harry Houdini was a big fan of Harry Keller. Mm-hmm. Keller had no children of his own. Mm-hmm. And I found the family who is descendant from Harry Keller. Keller had no kids.
Okay.
But one of the guys worked in the hospital where I worked. And he told I did some magic for the hospital. And the guy told me, we've got a bunch of magic stuff at our house. You should come by and see it. About 9 months goes by, and then I finally go over there. There's like 165 letters from Harry Houdini to Keller. There's letters from Thurston to Keller. There's letters from Keller to his father. And they talk about a shipwreck when he lost his show and all this kind of stuff.
Wow.
We took weeks going through these letters, putting them in chronological order, reading through them.
Sure.
And eventually, David Copperfield bought the collection, and they were now in his collection.
Wow.
But...
Wow, what a find.
Yeah. It was absolutely amazing. Two books came from those letters.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing also that for 6 months you did nothing. You thought, well, it's probably nothing, and I'll get to it eventually.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you would have rushed right over there.
Absolutely. You know, and then part of me wanted to go, hey, I'll offer you $3,000 for all this. You know,
yeah.
But ethically, I couldn't do it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, exactly. It's not worth much. They're just old letters, you know. Yeah, exactly. Wow, that is a pretty good story. That's cool. Well, listen, guys, thanks very much.
Sure.
I appreciate you talking over here, and thanks for listening to Magic Word. You said, Eric, you do as well.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
While you're on your commute.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Always good. You listen? You're going to have to.
I will start.
Oh, well, there we go.
I will start.
Okay. That was Dave and Eric, and for the Magic Word podcast, Scotty out. All right, well, as we're continuing through the lobby over here and before lunch, that I've got a couple more people that I think that it'd be interesting for you guys to hear from as well. One of the patrons from the Magic Word, one of the friends of the Magic Word, Mr. Andrew Portales. How are you, Andrew?
I'm doing great, Scott.
You are fantastic.
Thanks.
And also then I've got with me Janya Taylor, and you're going to be hearing more from Janya later because I recorded a longer podcast last night with
you. Right, and we're trying to remember what I said.
We had a few martinis, and so I think everybody will enjoy that.
I know, Scott's a booze bully.
Booze bully.
The booze heard that. Bully.
So you coined a new phrase, kind of like Camp Colon that
right.
you have
All right.
kind of coined that.
Did we talk about
we
that?
We did talk about that.
How
yeah.
I coined the phrase Camp Colon.
Yeah.
And you
it
did?
Just,
yes.
Really?
And it took
wow.
Because I used to stay out there by the River Lake Inn, and it was like going to camp. You had to bring your towels and your, you know, right? It was like, this is like camp. It's Camp
right.
Colon. And
yeah.
then it took.
It was by the lake, and they had those cabins.
Right.
Sure, yeah.
And so it took.
You go to Colon a lot. I mean, you've been going probably for a long number of years, Abbott's.
Oh, gosh. 1977.
Was your first one.
Was my first, yeah. That's the year that Lance Burton won first place.
Wow. Okay.
You want me to tell you the Lance Burton song?
Yeah, tell me this. Yeah.
A story?
Oh, my gosh, this is a great story.
Okay. Well, it was Thursday. Lance thought he was on Friday, on the Friday contest, but it was on Thursday. And this kid runs out in the audience and says, hey, I gotta call my friend, Lance Burton. He's still at the hotel. He thinks he's on tomorrow, but he's on today. And he goes, I need to borrow a quarter. I got to call, you know, because nobody had
right.
iPhones
had phone
or
booth.
No cell phones yeah. That. And that was Matt King.
Yeah.
And so my mom says, oh, well, I have a quarter. There you go. And then...
So you made it happen.
Yeah. And then Lance was on the contest. He won the whole thing. And it is, you know, he was on the Carson show and all that stuff. Then he won FISM. Then he came back to Abbott's and performed, and we were at the Magic Carpet. That's no longer there.
We talked about the carpet last night.
It was Magic Carpet, and my mom was there, and she goes, "Lance Burton, come over here." And she goes, "I'm the one who made you famous, and I want my quarterback." And Lance, he pulls out two dimes and a nickel, and I got this autograph that says, "To Leona, the one who made me famous, Lance Burton." So that's the big Lance Burton story.
Well, not just that claim to fame, but you were also on television as one of the reality show stars.
Yes, on Wife Swap.
Wife Swap, that was what it was.
11 years
now,
ago.
And you and I talked about this, I think, maybe some time ago on a podcast, but this is coming up on number 500, and there are a lot of people who are new to the podcast who have not heard this story, so if you could kind of tell what Wife Swap was, because it sounds rather...
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Just talk briefly about that.
Yeah, well, it's where... We swapped wives for like about 2 weeks.
Okay.
And the new wife came from Modesto, California. It's a reality show. And then my wife went to Modesto and that. And
was with that guy's family.
Yeah. Right, right. Okay. And the new wife just didn't get what we did. She's like,
Andy
magic.
Called me.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, calling me daily.
Oh, I was like,
because you couldn't
a
call Melissa.
Threat. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because the new wife was like, she moved out, didn't she?
Oh, she didn't stay the whole 2 weeks?
No. No, okay. No. She.
Well, that's the thing, the way that this Wife Swap show went is they tried to pair up people who were completely opposites. Okay.
Yeah. They want a show. Exactly. You know, it's like they want that conflict and that. So
she was very methodical, as I recall, or something, and kind of OCD into it.
Yeah, she was constantly cleaning and organizing things.
Right.
And
your desk was a mess.
Yeah, we were just a mess and laid back and whatever. Yeah. So.
And the same way there, I think that as far as when your wife went over there to Modesto, that she was not in the same mode of what the mother had been there as far as taking care of all the kids and everything.
Oh, right.
They were saying, well, we're not used to this. You know, we can eat anything we want.
Right. Because they had to get up and make their beds. Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
They had to make their beds. They had to do all these chores.
Sounds
and
like
my wife's younger. Like, just relax, just don't take everything so seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. So, back to this convention, you having a good time? You've been coming for how many years with your
36
dad?
Years.
Also with your pop?
Here's my dad.
36 years.
36 years. Uh-huh. He's straight, consecutively.
I lost $36,000.
So $1,000 each year is where you kind of look at this.
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
it's not a
at
loss.
Least,
I mean, look at what you
least.
Brought up here.
At least.
Look at all that magic we have that we don't use.
Yeah.
So he's been your traveling companion for all these years.
Yeah. Okay. Come to the magic.
Since you were 1 year old.
Right. Exactly. Right. Uh-huh. I guess that they're just going to have to stay tuned for the longer podcast.
Why?
We went through that last night, too.
Why do you come to this one, both you and Andrew? Why do you? I mean, you live here.
Yeah.
So
what? Eli grew up here.
Yeah.
You know, he was in the all the contests.
I remember seeing him in the contest when he was a kid.
Right.
11 years old.
Right. Yeah. So, it's very special for Eli and I. Mm-hmm. You know, he was, I wasn't going to come, but Eli just kept on saying, "Dad, you got to come down here. You got to." So I'm like,
but
okay.
But it's evolved a lot also. They no longer have the contests or anything, like that then.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Do they have any contests?
Not
no.
Here.
No more contests.
No.
But you know what? It's been replaced with the kid show lecture. Which I prefer.
Good
one this morning with Tim Hannig. Did you watch that?
Tim was great. Just a great. If you got to see
his
show.
Are you recording this?
Yes.
I want to tell you something.
Okay.
You come to the Magic. Magi Fest with the bank, and you go home without it.
Yes, because they have
yes.
a very busy dealer's
yes.
room in there.
Yes, and yes.
Good point. And so you do both do children's shows as well, so I'm sure you got a lot out of what Tim had to say.
Yeah.
Great lecture.
Yeah, you're always learning.
Uh-huh.
See, last year I saw
stopped.
Mario the Magician, and I was so impressed with Mario, and I thought he'd be a hard act to follow, but Tim really nailed it, I think.
Now they need to get Doug Shearer.
Sorry?
They need to get Doug Shearer.
Doug Shearer is awesome. I saw him in Colin some years ago.
He's supposed to be here.
Oh, is that right? Okay, yeah. He's very entertaining.
I got to work on him to get Doug Shearer.
He's from Toledo, isn't
no,
he?
No, from Detroit. Detroit area.
Okay. So what are you looking forward to seeing at this convention?
Guy Hollingsworth and Juan Tamarez.
And?
Oh, man.
Well, all of our friends.
Yeah,
I mean, all of
friends.
Our friends. Yeah, you walk down the hall and
you,
hey, how you doing? You know,
these
people that you haven't seen in like a year or so. So, yeah, all the friends.
The Saturday Night Show the last couple of years has just been awesome. You know, like every act's been a standing ovation.
So, I wish you hadn't said that because I can't go.
I'm sorry about that.
You can't
really
go Saturday?
You registered late.
I registered late, so I don't have a. My badge won't allow me to get in because they said the fire code just won't allow people.
Right, because they're like they overbooked the flight.
Basically, yeah, there were over 1,000 people, and there's not room for everybody.
Maybe you can drill a hole in the wall.
ask me what I'd like to get. Or what I get from this convention.
What do you get from this convention?
What would I like to get from this convention?
Okay, what would
I'd
you like
to get my money back.
I see a recurring theme here.
You get it back in friendship, Dad.
There you go. He's going to be paying you right there.
There you go. There you go, Ron.
Thanks.
He starts counting the day when we pull out of the parking lot. How many more days till next year's Magi Fest?
Every year we're very depressed on the way home. We're just two depressed kids.
Really?
You have to wait till the next one.
It's all over.
Well, listen, I'm going to let you go, and thank you guys very much. I'm glad you're enjoying the convention as well.
Having a blast.
Okay. Yeah. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Andrew and Janya and her father,
Ross Taylor.
Ross, we'll see you guys later. Scotty out. All right, well, it's lunchtime now, and... just having a bite to eat over here and with Murphy's Magic Supplies and talking to some of the dealers here as well. And one of them is Patrick Prezecki. Hey there, Patrick.
Hey, Scott.
And you live here, actually. And so in this area, I mean, how close are you?
I'm about 2 hours north.
Not too bad.
No.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah. And so you've been coming to this convention for how long?
Over 30 years.
Yeah. It's hard to keep track. Now, has it been consecutively? Or do you mean from year to year you can't don't make it? Or
I think 1 year I missed.
Yeah.
I had a job. But other than that, I usually circle this date off and don't take any other work. Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know Patrick, he's the one who makes pads by Patrick. Is that right? Pads by Patrick? Makes nice close-up pads.
Yes.
Custom made.
Close-up mats. Yeah. Patrick's Magical Surfaces. Custom close-up mats.
And by making custom, it's not just the colors, but also that you can have designs and, of course, stitched and whatever.
That's right. We offer embroidery. You get your name and logo right on the mat. I've also made mats for tables, like a Jim Z table, that replacement tables. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of trade show tables, special sizes, circles, that kind of thing, yeah.
Right. And while you're here, though, you've got a booth. And what's the vibe like? I mean, obviously, there's not a lot of people. And here, we're talking, so it's kind of quiet. But, I mean, when I go in there, it just is a buzz. Seems like it's very busy. So.
And the dealer room is really rocking this year. There's a lot more room, and there's a lot of people, a couple extra 100 people here. Mm-hmm. And it's great. You get to see a lot of old friends and meet new ones.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's true. it seems that, of course, there are more people here this year than in past. Years ago, you know, this is, what they say, the 87th year or something, I think, for the Magi Fest. It used to be, I think, that they had over 1,000 people. They've been like most conventions. They've kind of gone down. And then this year they got over 1,000 again.
Yeah, it's a different format. The old format was great. There was a lot of contests and stage and close-up. And but Josh and Andy are doing a great job with this. They've revitalized it, made it modern. A lot of great talent that people don't get to see. Mm-hmm. They're keeping the lectures down to an hour, which hits the kid people hard, and you get to see more stuff.
Right.
Yeah, it's great. Pretty genius.
Yeah, it is. I think they've also got a good social network, so this way they can kind of keep in tune with a lot of people that way, you know, because... You know, advertising is not the way in today's. It's what it used to be, as far as people just not reading their magazines. Or, you know, I mean, like, I don't suppose that you advertise much in magazines like Linking Ring or MUM or elsewhere.
Not too much. Sometimes I do, but no, it's a global world anymore. And Josh has got his fingers on the whole world. Everybody knows him. Yeah,
that's the thing. You're right. Everybody knows him. And I think it's because of that worldwide reach that they have, you know, with Vanishing Ink and everything then, too. So what have you found as far as, like, the works for you, advertising, social media-wise, or whatever else?
You know, I've gotten a lot of buzz from the Magic Cafe and Facebook's
From their banner ads you're talking about?
No, not the banner ads, but the SME, Social Magic Exchange, and Talk. Yeah. And the Talk. And, you know, I've been around a while, so people come to a convention, they get my product, take it home, and then show their friends, and a lot of word of mouth,
yeah. Speaking of which, that I have not one, but two of those wonderful pads that I put inside my pocket that, you know, that I can work where tables or restaurants or just cocktail parties even, you know, I'll say, could you hold this for me, you know? It's just a beautiful pad that kind of folds flat and opens up, you know, to a nice size.
That's our... I didn't invent it. We just came up with it a couple years ago, and it's expanded. It's really nice for traveling, especially the European people. They can put it in their suitcase very easily or their backpack, and it keeps the mat nice and safe.
Right. Yeah, I like the way that, it just kind of folds up and, again, fits right inside your pocket. It has a nice kind of a feel on the outside, you know, the kind of, is it leather or
it's
some sort of naga hide?
It's made from an artificial crocodile.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say it looks like a crocodile or something.
Material. And we make those in all sizes, too. That this pocket one is what we first came up with, and then we expanded it to every size mat we make and even custom sizes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which would, as you say, be easier than to store and ship when you're traveling as well. That's interesting. So other conventions, then briefly, you're going to be going to some other places where people can see this year?
Well, I always get to go to the 4F. I'm lucky enough to be able to go there. I will be attending Magic Live for the second time as a dealer this year, and I'm also be at the Genie Convention. And I hope to make it to the IBM or SAM. I got to look at my calendar for that.
Right, yeah. I know the IBM's going to be over the 4th of July. I'm not sure when the SAM's not having one this year. It's going to be next year in Vegas.
In January. Yeah.
That's right. So they're changing it up completely.
We got to see if it might conflict with this one. That's the only downside I see of that.
What's a thing like with Magic Live overlapping with the Abbott's get-together?
Yeah. And then in the FISM year, it makes it kind of tough for you got to see where your dollars are going.
Well,
and also be at FISM in Quebec. Mm-hmm. Or is it Quebec?
Yeah, one
I
or the other.
I think Quebec.
Quebec. Okay. Anyhow, thanks very much. Appreciate your time.
Hey, always great to see you.
Let you get back to your booth in there. Start selling some more mats.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much.
That was Patrick Brzezicki for Pads by Patrick. What's it called?
They're mats. Well, I like to call them mats.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, Patrick's Magical Surfaces.
Magical Surfaces.
PMS started out, but...
but you call them mats, not pads.
I like to call them mats, yeah.
Why would you have that delineation?
It's... sounds better.
Yeah, okay, I can see that. I like Matt. Okay, yeah, I can see where you're going with that.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot for the Magic Word Podcast, Scotty. Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast.com, and there are a lot of things going on over here right now. Adam Rubin is having a lecture going on, and I had heard him speak at Magic Live, same kind of presentation he'd given there. He's got a packed house in there. I was going to head into the dealer's room, but I thought, well, I'll talk to someone who should be in the dealer's room, who you should be also subscribing to Real Magic. Here he is, the man, the legend, Cosmo, street legend.
Street legend Cosmo. Yeah, I'm old. Okay, yeah, I get it. Scott, what's up?
You've got to live old and long enough that you do start to become... Okay, he was a legend. He's still around, basically.
I'm hanging on by a thread.
So tell me about Real Magic. What's happening as far as how many years have you been, how many issues? And
well, we started in 2007. We've done 51 issues of Real Magic. Mm-hmm. But Real Magic has a real strong online presence. We started that, I think, 2012 or 2013. Mm-hmm. We put all the issues of Real Magic up on the site, but we also include, with somebody's subscription, lectures and... TNT is a seasonal thing. We do it a couple times a year. Every Tuesday night, put a new trick up on the site. There's 7 seasons of TNT on the site. There's all kinds of great content up on the site all the time. We just started a new thing called the Marketplace. The Marketplace is a place where you can go and get great deals on the hottest items that are in Magic community now. Right now, you know, like
you don't mean just DVDs. You're talking about tricks and whatever.
Yeah, Rubik's Cube stuff, all that stuff. So. Mm-hmm. It's like a magic store that's very selective in what we carry. So we know everything we sell is a good product. You're not going to get something that's, you know, not going to work, right. That kind of thing.
So you're not just mirroring Murphy's Magic of everything, the 10,000 things they have.
Yeah.
You're pretty selective saying, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we're real selective in what we're putting up. And so what you do if you're a subscriber to Real Magic, we give you discounts on these products. These are all price-protected products, so you would get a discount on that product, and we give it to you in free real magic. But because the site won't allow us to give you that discount in real magic, we actually discount it. Money. We charge less, and then we hope that you take that money that we discounted for and continue your subscription with Real Magic.
Oh, I see what you're
saying. So somebody, for instance, if somebody bought Rubicon or Rubik's Dream 360, and they're a Real Magic subscriber that retails for $155, we'd sell it for like $120 or $125. Mm-hmm. We're selling it for $155. We're just giving you cash back so you can buy the next 6 or 8 months of Real Magic.
So it comes with your subscription. I say it comes with. I mean, your subscription comes with that trick.
So for your $5 a month, and there's no long-term commitment, you can subscribe for a month or a year or whatever you want. With your $5 a month, you get every issue of Real Magic that's been put out and in the future. Mm-hmm. You get all the on-demand plus stuff, which is, and I know that you have Real Magic. Mm-hmm. All the lectures, all the TNTs, the Kainoa Card Bottle Coin Course, all the Garrett Thomas Ring courses that are on there, all that content and the marketplace for $5 a month certainly qualifies Real Magic to be the best deal in Magic today.
And for those who are not familiar with what Real Magic is, it's R-E-E-L.
Right.
Because it is a video thing, which really I would call it a video magazine.
Yeah, I think that's what Real Magic Magazine is, and that's the website, www.real, R-E-E-L, magicmagazine.com. Mm-hmm. But it's so much more than just that magazine. It's, with all the lectures and all the other things we're doing. So there's a lot of great stuff on there. There's a Garrett Thomas lecture, Doc Eason lectures up on the site.
And that's always available. Also, whenever that you buy it, you kind of own that in perpetuity. Is that right? Or is it just for the period of time that you have your subscription?
Yeah, you own it for as long. It's like Netflix. You own it until you turn it off. When you turn it off, it all goes away. And then you can come back 6 months later, it's going to be there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So come, go, stay.
As you wish.
As you wish.
Yeah. And so it's streaming.
It is.
So they're not downloading this.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Just think Netflix of magic. That's what you. That was my plan when I started this particular online venture.
And so one of the reasons I wanted to kind of get into this was just to find out what you think is this model that you had taken, the business model, something that you had built before, that would you change it now? I mean, is this still growing? Is it?
Yeah, we're growing, and no, we wouldn't change it. This is what we're doing. We're going to add cool things like the marketplace. We're going to find something new to add to this site, new content, new things. For instance, last week we had at the marketplace we had Brian Gillis's Peak Pack. Brian Gillis, that's a $45 item. Yeah. It's really good. We sold it for $15 inside the U.S. We gave him free shipping.
How could you beat that? Yeah.
If you don't be offended by me saying to this Scott Wells podcast listening to this podcast right now, people, don't be offended. But if you're not subscribing to Real Magic. Mm-hmm. You're making a big mistake, and it's a financial make. Yeah. You're spending more money than you should. Because there's always some kind of cool value that you're going to get at Real Magic that you're not going to get anywhere else.
Yeah. I mean, for an example, that Vanish magazine is a free magazine, mm-hmm. a digital magazine, and it is excellent. And it's awesome. There's nothing more that you get than that magazine, whereas you're providing other discounts on cool tricks.
Yeah. It's a great place to go and hang out, Real Magic magazine online. You can go there and subscribe, watch a lecture tonight, buy a new trick, save yourself.
Is there anybody that is like you, or is there anyone else in the world who has a similar kind of a thing?
There are some guys who are doing some streaming stuff, mm-hmm. but this kind of model, we were the first one, but there's nobody that has this content, and there's nobody that has the marketplace. Mm-hmm.
And any plans in the future for some sort of a... I mean, I don't like you say the TNT, the Tuesday Night Trick thing. That was something that is a cool thing that has grown. It's been an outgrowth of this as you've gone on. Is there anything else you've kind of got in mind?
Well, we have some more. We have some... after this TNT season of TNT is up, season 7, we have a Boris Wilde lecture we're going to put up on the site. We also have a John Gustafaro lecture that we've shot and we have to produce that we're going to put on the site. And it's
quality, too, by the way, for the people who are listening. I think you need to go and check it out. Yeah, I mean, you do a very good job. I mean, it's not just like shot in a closet someplace,
No.
With an iPhone.
Yeah, might be shot in a closet, but it doesn't look like that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. No, the quality's top-notch. Everybody who works on this project knows what they're doing except for me.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So does that afford you any time to continue to do any street magic, or do you still get out from time to time, work restaurants or anything?
I don't work restaurants, but I do street magic a lot every time I get a chance. When it's warm in the Northeast, I'm going to go find a spot. I work a little bit every summer. I'm also doing a show with Garrett Thomas, which is pretty great.
Tell me about that.
Well, Garrett's probably the best close-up magician in the world. If you ask David Blaine, that's what he's going to tell you. And,
well, you told me before he's like the new Di Vernon, too. He is excellent as a teacher.
Well, I think he's better than Vernon. He's the best magician I've ever seen in my life. So Garrett and I are doing this show with a guy named Joe Maxwell, who's also a drummer, was a drummer in Moby for a while. He was on Saturday Night Live and Letterman. We've all got credentials. So this show is... it's a portable venue that we created that we can go from theater to theater or banquet room to banquet room in different cities and do our set and have the environment that the audience is watching the show from be able to see and have the kind of impact that we want them to have and experience with our magic. So that's what we bought risers, we bought lighting trusses. We have three projectors that we paid $16,000 a piece for that in big screens. And so, and you go, I mean, we do video right in this show. And that's why we do that. That's what we do. So, and it's a phenomenal show. It's one of the best magic shows.
And where is it? Where can people see it?
Well, you can see it whenever we come to your town.
Okay, so you're a traveling show.
Yeah, we're traveling, and we'd love to find a place just to set it and then dig in our heels and be there for 6 months. But I'm not sure when that's going to happen or if it can happen. I know that there's people out there who are doing it. Christian and Catalina are doing that, right. But they're doing some traveling too. So we'll see. But we'll see where it lands. I'm 62. This might be my last great adventure, but I'm all in on it. So is Garrett. We're having a blast, and I can't think of a better human being than Garrett Thomas to do this with. There's nobody better than him. So,
Kyle, thanks very much.
You're
appreciate
welcome,
it.
Scott.
Always good talking
good
to you, buddy.
See you, man. I love you to death, man.
For the Magic Word Podcast, that was Cosmo. Scotty out. Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we are getting closer to the end of the second day of activities, and one of the things we had here today was an excellent lecture by Guy Hollingworth. Hello, Guy.
Hi. Hello. Yeah, good to see you again.
Welcome to the U.S. again.
Thank you.
You were just in and out. You're back home Sunday, I guess?
Yeah, Monday. Yeah, but it's okay. A quick trip.
Well, that's right, because you're doing the workshop then.
I am, yes.
Now, yours is... going to be at a different time than when Juan's is going to be?
Yes. Somehow I think Juan got the morning slot and I got the afternoon slot. So I don't know how that worked out because I don't think Juan is a real morning guy.
But surprises me too.
Exactly, I guess Right. Maybe the thinking is if he's still on Spanish time, maybe he just stays up late and then it works out fine. But anyway, somehow that's how it works.
That's
so
right.
He's doing one and I'm doing one later.
Now, are you limited as to how many people are in the workshop?
Apparently so. I had nothing to do with putting it together, but I think it was 80 people.
80?
Yeah,
okay.
I think so. Yeah.
And so what kind of things are you teaching there that you don't in the lecture? Or is it more hands-on kind of a thing?
Well, the answer is I actually don't know. I mean, I will very much do what people want me to do. I'm not planning on going over any of the stuff I did in the lecture. I'm planning on doing some different things. And I've got a whole bunch of ideas, some old stuff, some new stuff. But... I'll see how interactive it is. I did some workshops in Japan last year, and they were like six-hour workshops. And I was told beforehand, don't worry about it. People will just ask questions, and, we'll just do whatever they want.
Right.
No one asked any questions at all. They just sat there very politely, completely silent for 6 hours. So I did like a six-hour talk.
Wow.
And I thought,
okay.
I thought, I don't know how they have the stamina to sit through that. I wouldn't watch myself for 6 hours. So I don't know how they managed. So I'm kind of assuming maybe people will be a little bit more forthcoming here. People might
ask.
You said
it was in Japan?
That was in Japan.
But did you have like
there was a translator.
Translator.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so they weren't just staring at me, not understanding things,
yeah.
I don't think.
So you didn't talk really for six straight hours.
Right, yeah.
Had a little bit of time.
Exactly. I had time to catch my breath in between.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing here I've got some things in mind to do, but if there are people who have turned up and who want me to go through anything...
It's kind of like wherever they want you to take it.
Exactly, okay. Yeah. I have very few things that are sort of secret. I don't have routines that are like, I'm not willing to share that. I have a new stage act, and I'm not particularly keen to talk about that, partly because it's new and I am using it, so I don't particularly want people to be doing the same thing. But also because there's not really much point, because it uses props and apparatus that people won't have. So I think the whole point of a workshop is that people are gaining something that they can actually take away from and use.
That's right.
So, but within those parameters, I'm very happy. You know, occasionally I've spent an hour just going through the torn and restored card, and if people want to do that, I'm perfectly happy to do that. Or if people would rather do shorter little things, you know, it's
so they're doing it in their hands. So it is a kind of hands-on workshop.
Well, that's kind of what I'm. If people want to do that, that's fine by me. If they just want to sit there and listen, then I'll just talk at them.
I like when you give your talks, because I remember at the centenary that you given that talk about the coffee maker.
Right.
I will never forget that. It's like, that really kind of changed my life as far as a lot of thinking about outside the box. And just because you can do it this way all the time, well, there are different ways of doing it, and putting the thing together differently from the side or upside down or, you know, whatever. There are so many different ways to just start thinking about magic and my life and other things in a different way. So.
Yeah, so that all came from my background in industrial design.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd started industrial design, and they sort of taught you ways of coming up with new ideas. And so I thought, well, why can't you apply that to magic? Right. So that was the idea behind the talk, was to use that kind of structured approach to coming up with new ideas.
Have you carried on and had that kind of a lecture, or is that the one and off and only time you had done
that? That's the only time I've done that lecture, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
I've never
done
that.
Glad I got
to
hear that.
Yeah, no, that was a one-off. And, I mean, if I'm totally honest, it actually isn't necessarily the process that I use, or it actually isn't the process I use most of the time. It's sort of stuff that I have at the back of my head, and if I'm stuck for ideas, I might take some of those ideas from that background. But I don't actually have a rigid process where if I'm ever going to try and come up with something, I necessarily follow that structure. It's just, you know, sort of a background.
Now, you don't do a lot of conventions, and so, especially over here in the U.S., like, I think you did the Genie Convention a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
And then this one, and so you got any others planned in the near future?
Well, there may be a couple of others,
You haven't signed on yet.
At the moment, yeah.
You're talking
a little bit
to
up, exactly, a little bit up in the air. But, you know, I love coming over here, and I love doing lectures and conventions and shows. It's just a question of fitting things in with my work back home as a, you know, I'm
barrister.
Still working as a barrister.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I have to sort of be a little bit selective. At the moment, the people I work with are very understanding, and they know that this slightly eccentric interest of mine is important to me, so they let me get on and do some things.
That's nice.
But I think if I were sort of every couple of months going off for a...
They may not be
then
so
it
cool
be,
with that.
Exactly. Yeah. So I have to be a little bit careful. But, yeah, I love coming and doing them. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, we'll sit down and we'll have a more lengthy conversation, because sometime I'd like to also talk to you about the expert at the card table, the show that you had done there. And
yeah.
Future plans or what you'd done and how to prepare for that. And that
yeah,
kind of thing.
Sure.
There's a lot to talk about there.
There is. And, yeah, I'm planning on doing that show again this summer, actually. So
in L.A.?
No, in London it will probably.
Are you okay?
Yeah. So... Yeah, I've been making some changes. I've been sort of working it up again, and I'm really excited about doing that. Yeah,
that's great. Well, thank you very much. Always good talking
pleasure.
To you.
Pleasure. You too. Thanks.
Because last time we talked, I think it was in Italy at the FISM.
Was
like,
it really? Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I think I caught you kind of between things and had a chance to chat for just a little bit of it. Well, good. Thanks again.
Great.
Appreciate
not at all. Thanks.
Always good seeing you.
You too.
There's Guy Hollingsworth, not with an S, because I noticed they introduced you today, Colin Hollingsworth. I said, no, there's no S in that.
That's right.
This is Scotty out. So we just finished with the evening show that featured Juan Tamaris, of course, who is the guest of honor here at the Magi Fest. And I thought it would be kind of interesting to talk with someone who has spent a little bit of time, actually, with Juan. And that's Matt Baker. Hi there, Matt.
Hi.
And so you had gone over to Spain and spent a few days, or what was the deal?
That's right. A couple of months ago, Juan ran a master class at his home near Cadiz in the south of Spain. Mm-hmm. And there were five of us who ended up participating in that. And it ran 5 days, 4 evenings, from 7 p.m. to 3 a.m. each day. And he usually went till 4 or 5.
Because I know that he's a late night person.
That's right, yeah. He's essentially completely nocturnal. But it worked out great for me with the time change, because I'm from Atlanta and it's a 6-hour difference, and it was perfect.
So you kind of kept your own schedule when you
got
back here, so fine, no jet lag.
Exactly.
And so in doing that, during that immersion experience at a master class, I mean, was this something that you could take back and remember? Because a lot of times that I know, look, when I go to a class or a lecture like that, there's so much that I forget it all. I mean, it's all so good.
Yeah, that's a big challenge. So, you know, one thing I did was I have a notebook, and I took lots of notes as much as I could. And when we got back to the room, I wrote down as much as I could remember. Right. But also, the other four guys that were in the group, everyone was from a different country. I was the only one from the U.S. The okay. others were from France and Italy. And
but it was in English. Is that right?
It was in English. Okay. That's right.
Because he also does this in Spanish for other.
That's right. Okay. He did another one in Spanish earlier this year. Mm-hmm. And he's done a couple of these before, I think, at his home. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so all of us were taking notes, but probably on different things, and we sort of compared notes afterwards, and we're actually all still in touch. We're going to have a reunion this summer.
I was just going to ask you about that very thing, about perhaps getting together, kind of remembering and kind of say, okay, well, I got this. Or remember when you did? Oh, yeah, now I remember.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so yeah. I think some of the stuff that I've forgotten... maybe they've forgotten other things that I remember, and we're going to get together again and go over various
things. Now, were there full tricks that you remembered most importantly, or were there some moves, subtleties, some slights or something that you can add to other things? Or obviously a variety of things, but what was it that was kind of outstanding for you?
Yeah, well, it was 32 hours of instruction from one, so it's hard to summarize in really quickly like that, but I think that for me, the most important thing was just remembering exactly why I spend so much time thinking about and doing magic and what it can do when you've spent your whole life working on it. And really, I feel like some of that inspiration was passed along to me, and I really feel inspired again to better myself. So that's like in general. But specifically, he taught us some great tricks that I wrote down as many notes as I could, some published, some unpublished things. He showed us maybe 20 or 30 different ways to use the perpendicular control that he developed, which he used in the show tonight, actually. But I had no idea. So I had read the move in Sonata, and I knew a few things you could do with it, but I had no idea how versatile it was and how much he uses it to do all kinds of things that I had no idea. So that was really eye-opening to see, and he did the best he could to teach us how to do various things. Some of it's quite difficult, some not so bad. And then he talked a lot about theory and symbolism and the kind of stuff that's in the new book that just came out at this convention here in English, the Magic Rainbow. And so he talked a lot about just why he feels certain effects are inherently strong, because they mean things to people for various reasons. And if you do it a slightly different way, it's not as good. And he tried to tell us why he makes different choices. And then he went through some effects and really broke it down in minute detail. He took 1 or 2 hours to explain, one simple card trick, but he talked about exactly why he does it this way, why you put the card box over here rather than over here. You move your body to the right. So, he talked about the 5 points in magic stuff and really showed us some practice techniques for learning to use your body weight and some things that Slidini showed him about moving back and forth. And so just the combination of all of those things was sort of overwhelming and wonderful.
Now, when you went, did you actually go with an act and that he was going to refine or not? I mean, I'm thinking like of Jeff McBride's masterclass, that you send in a tape or something, and so he has an idea from your video that's, okay, I'm going to work with this, but not necessarily, and then...
There was no video audition. It was tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and your interests. So I have no idea how he selects or what he does to come up with the participant
list. So just
because
you submit an application doesn't mean necessarily that you're going to be one of the guys selected.
Right. Okay. I think it's just timing and luck and maybe something I said.
Yeah. You're the guy from the U.S.
Right. I think that... although there was no audition like that, we did do a show at his house. So the third night out of the four, he invited lay people over to his house, some friends of his.
Yeah.
And we put on a 2-hour show. Juan opened and closed the show himself. He and his wife did an act together in the middle. And then each of the five participants in the masterclass did a 10-15 minute set. And we videotaped everything. We have that as a souvenir.
Nice.
And the next day, we each met privately with Juan and talked about the performance. He actually went over some of the video, and he with some of the tricks I did, you know, he said, "Oh, wonderful, very good." But your feet, and he telling me, he commented on the angle of my feet, and we had a camera specifically on the feet.
Yeah.
And he talked about how I was moving back and forth a little bit more than is optimal, you know, because it can be a little bit distracting if you're trying to draw attention to this.
Right.
And so this is actually the sort of thing that nobody has ever talked to me about.
It's close-up
before.
Theater, actually.
Yeah, theater. Mm-hmm. So that was actually great. And I've been, every performance I've done since I got back, I've been thinking about my feet, and I think it helps. So, you know, he just looks at details that other people don't care about, and he convinces you that they're important.
How did you find out about the class to begin with?
It was, I'm on the Grupo CAPS email list from something I bought from Danny Ortiz, I think, and they sent out an email notice that they were doing these master class. Danny Ortiz is doing a few as well. And I just immediately made a decision. You know, it wasn't free. You had to pay for this school, but I thought, you know what? Magic is so important to me, and Juan is such a hero to me that I'm going to do it. And maybe some other people hesitated at the price, or maybe some people thought that what's the chance I would get picked anyway? So, and I just said, you know what? I'm going to do it. And I responded saying, I'm in. Here's a bit about me. And but, you know, I'm really glad that I did it. I made some...
Because Andy was saying, when he introduced him, you know, this may be the greatest magician living today, if not in all times. And he really was according him high praise, and a lot of people do. You know, think it's great. So the same thing there. If you had an opportunity, you know, I'll go borrow money, because you're not going to ever get this opportunity.
You just do it, And so I loved the pilgrimage aspect of it, you know, traveling to this little town. And he just emailed us his address a few days before we came, and,
Very cool.
Just assuming he would be there when I got there. But just the experience of the pilgrimage and learning from him, and just seeing how much attention he pays to so many details that most people don't think are important, but you know, to him, he spent his whole life perfecting these things. And so I really feel like I just saw what magic can be.
That's great. Well, Matt, thanks very much for sharing that experience, because I know a lot of people are envious and kind of would like to hear what the experience was actually like. So thanks for sharing that little snippet of insight over there. So for the Magic Word Podcast, and from here, just after watching Juan do some incredible magic on stage over here, that was Matt Baker. Scotty out. So we just finished with the Nick DeFott comedy show. It was 11 till midnight. They'll be having the State of the Magic Union here with, who is that coming up? Paris and Greenbaum. Going to do a little comedy thing here for us shortly, but right now I'm with David Kaplan. Hi there, David.
Hello, Scott.
And you're a longtime attendee of this, because it seems like I remember talking to you at one of these years ago, I think when Gregory Wilson and Ossie Wind and at the other hotel or something way back when.
Oh, man, I've been coming way before that.
Yes, I know.
I think since about 1982. No, 86 I probably started coming.
Definitely in the Red Coat days.
Oh, yeah. And you know, I did it. I've been on these shows many times, and it's always been in here, the All-Star Show in this ballroom, and then they had the public show at Vets, and I did that a number of times. Did that with Norm Nielsen once. And I did it with Dana Daniels once. And, it's just, it's like my home convention.
Well, you live in Ohio, though, too. I mean, you're not too far up the road. How far are you?
I'm about 20 minutes away.
Okay. Well, it seems like, as I said, when I talked to you one time at a convention, I think that you were just in for the day. You were like between shows or going somewhere or something.
That could very well be. I don't usually sign up for it unless... Unless I'm working it, I don't usually plan on it because I might have to work somewhere else. So I end up coming and just buying a one-day or two-day registration. Yeah.
Well, this was a special convention. I mean, this was just sold out a long time ago, though, too.
Right, I know.
Did you sign up last year or how?
I worked it last year.
Okay. But not this year.
Right. Yeah, I was on the gala show last year with Sean Farquhar and Matt King and Young Min Kim.
I remember. I saw the show. I mean, I was here last year. It was a good convention.
And Woody Aragon was on it, too.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Woody gave you, that's right.
Yeah, it's
really it was
great.
A good lineup last year.
It sure was.
This year's good, too. Yeah, it's always hard for him to top it.
This year's killer. This is great. I mean,
what'd you think of Juan Tamer's show earlier?
It's fantastic.
Their words?
Yeah,
you,
I mean, he, you know, the guy's a legend.
Yeah. Great. I never knew any
show. It's kind of hard to talk right now because they're cranking up the music because I don't think they want us to talk or something.
Uh-huh.
A little computer.
But well, nobody seems to be leaving the showroom here right now, getting ready for the midnight show, because
we'll
start up just in a couple of minutes. Where's your next convention? Are you going to be performing at another convention sometime soon?
Oh, that's a good question. No. No. I'm going to be doing some of these rooms. You know, I'm doing the... I got the House of Magic lined up in Nashville. I'm going to be doing the Smoke and Mirrors Theater in Philadelphia.
I just went to the House of Cards. It was beautiful. It's a great venue.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I hear it's great. I hear they did everything right.
And I'm going to have you come down to Magic Island then.
I would love that.
You'll be great there.
That would be fantastic. Yeah. You know, it seems like now there's almost a circuit where we can kind of...
We've been talking about that. You know, when I was talking to Joey Martinez, he said, you know, maybe that we can kind of try to get a circuit for guys to go from one to the other. But some of these venues are only open, like, on the weekends. Like, let's say, Chicago Magic Lounge, I think, is, like, Friday and Saturday for stage shows.
Right, right. And same with the other place, Smoke and Mirrors.
Yeah.
Ours is the Dickens. I'll do the Dickens.
Right. That's, like, a one-day.
Well, in the winter, it's a weekend, but in the summer, it's a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's the castle, and then there's Milt's new place. Have you been there?
I've not. I didn't know that he had actually gotten it all permitted. I thought they was really delayed.
I think it's in.
You think it's gone? In Malibu, isn't it? Or
I think so. Yeah, it looks nice. It looks really nice from what I've seen. I've seen, like, a little video of it, but I don't know who's working or if it's a steady thing yet. I don't know.
Yeah, they don't have that magic in the Universal Walk anymore, do they?
I don't think so.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I knew. I heard about it, but I never did it.
Okay. Well, it looks like you're getting ready to start over here. Okay, thanks a lot, David.
My pleasure,
okay,
Scott.
Always good talking to you. So with the Magic Word Podcast, so this is David Kaplan. And by the way, I would recommend that if you want to go back and learn something about comedy writing and everything, it was kind of interesting that you go back and just do a search in our archives with Dave Cox and David Kaplan. We had the two Daves. So just go through the archives. I don't know how many years ago that was.
That would have been 2000. No, 15. Last, after the Italy FISM, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
IBM in Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's right. All right, we're out. Scotty out.